Thank you, Martha, for sharing. God does have good ideas. And, you know, ladies, part of being able to see God in our lives is seeing Him in the little things. Of course, we all have these great big moments, and those are moments that we're to share too. But there are things that happen to us all day, every day, that when we're in tune with God, we will see them and we will hear them. And those are the stories, like this one that Martha shared, that when you share them, not only can we see how God worked in her life and how it blessed that mother and that child, but we can also see more easily when He does little things in our lives, so that then we can go ahead and pass it on too. So thank you, Martha, for sharing. And notice, just in case anybody's still nervous about telling a story, you can stand at your table. You don't have to come up here, and it doesn't have to be recorded. We have one more opportunity next week to share a story. So if you're feeling a little nudge, talk to Lorraine, and then we'll have lots of opportunities in the spring. So thank you. And I think that's, oh, there's one more thing I need to tell you all, because I am a little bit more nervous today because my big sister is here. Now, I've already seen her shake her head no at me. So y'all got mad at me the last time I didn't make her point herself out, but I'd rather have y'all mad at me than her, so I'm not going to point her out. But I will tell you, if you look around, you might find someone who is like a blonder, blue-eyed, shorter version of me, which doesn't... Oh, look, she stood up! So anyway, she's here from Pennsylvania, and I'm very grateful that she's here, but, you know, makes me a little more nervous. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you, thank you, thank you, that you are all powerful and we don't have to be. I thank you for this opportunity to look at this attribute of yours today, and I ask that you open the hearts of these women, the ears of these women, and you bless the words that come out of my mouth to be a truth that is all about you, to glorify you. I ask this in your son's name. Amen. Okay, here's my slide for the year. I told y'all, if you can define it, it is not God. This has been my best reminder all year. God is a mystery, and even though we can never truly know who He is, He wants us to keep trying. He wants us to focus every single day on learning more about who He is. And we will learn that through His Word. We will learn that through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we will learn that through the Holy Spirit. And also we will learn that from sharing stories from each other. He is constantly giving us information and signs about who He is. Now, another insight He gives us are some of the different names that He gives to Himself in Scripture in order to know Him better. If you will remember a few lessons ago, I talked about His eternality, and I used the name El Olam, which means everlasting. Well, today I'm going to use another name that God gave Himself, and it is El Shaddai. And El Shaddai means God Almighty. Hopefully, you noticed in our song this morning that we were talking about Lord God Almighty, and I'll tell you why this is important as we get into the lesson a little bit further. Now, since the attribute that we were studying is omnipotence, one of the first things I always do, one of the first things I did for this one, is I open up my Bible and I start looking for where it says God is omnipotent. Well, I searched and I searched and I searched, and I couldn't find omnipotent. And I thought, well, this is weird. And so I got online and started, you know, reading a little bit more. And what I found out was that it's only mentioned one time. And that one time is in Revelations 19:6. But even with that exact verse, when I went to Revelations 19:6, it still didn't say omnipotent. So I was like, well, what's going on here? So I started looking at different versions, and I found it in the King James Version. And it says, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. So why are we studying an attribute that is mentioned only one time in Scripture, and it's not mentioned at all in modern translations? Well, it's because God's omnipotence is assumed or applied everywhere in the Bible. You don't have to search hard to find hundreds of verses that either teach about his omnipotence or implicitly assume it and refer to it. So I'm going to give you all another overwhelming slide like I did last time, and please heed my advice from last time and take a picture of it or know that it's going to be on the website. But I did want to give you all something that you could go back to and look at, since you can't necessarily find this word omnipotent. And this is just a drop in the bucket for how many scriptures there are. So there's that. So although the word omnipotent is not found in our modern translations, it's a concept that can easily be understood and seen, I think, on virtually every page of the Bible. The word that we do see all over Scripture that means the exact same thing is almighty. Now, omnipotent is Latin, and almighty is Anglo-Saxon. So almighty is used 57 times to describe God. El Shaddai, God Almighty. So whenever you hear almighty, that's the same thing as omnipotence. So what does omnipotent or almighty mean when used to describe God? Well, the first thing we want to establish is that God alone is omnipotent. This is not something that we can ever acquire the closer we get to him. God alone is omnipotent. And omnipotence is defined as all-powerfulness or almightiness. In other words, when God wants something to be done, it is done. And Paul wrote of God's omnipotence in the sense that he is above all and through all and in all, and that's Ephesians 4:6. God can do anything he wants, anytime he wants, any way he wants. All the power in the universe comes from God. And even though he can give power to us and to other people, it never diminishes any of his own power. God is the only one wise enough to wield absolute power in a way that is absolutely good. God has all power in heaven and on earth. That's Matthew 28:18. So unlike our limited power, which is constrained by time and space and, you know, force, all different things, God is limited only by his character. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that God's omnipotence is always in harmony with his holy character. His power is without self-contradiction. So in other words, God will never do anything contrary to who he tells us he is. So because of that, there are some things that God can't do. For example, Numbers 23:19, Titus 1:2, and Hebrews 6:18 all teach us that God cannot lie. God lacks the ability to lie because lying is contrary to his perfection, his moral perfection. James 1:13 tells us God cannot be tempted to sin, and he cannot tempt any of us to sin. In 2 Timothy 2:13, it says that God cannot deny himself. And in Psalm 119:89, it says that God cannot go back on his own promises. So since God himself tells us that there are certain things that he cannot do, how can it be that he's all-powerful? This is a debate you'll hear. It's because that power of God is self-restrained. In other words, he has limited himself to acts that are consistent with his righteous, loving character. He cannot do evil. He cannot do anything irrational. He cannot go back on his word. He is all-powerful when it comes to doing things that are right, but he has no power to do things that are wrong. He cannot do wrong things precisely because he is God, and he is perfect. God cannot deny himself or do anything contrary to any of these virtues that we've talked about all year and we will continue to talk about. And God cannot, as the all-glorious perfect one, share his glory with anyone else. So the best definition for omnipotence of God is that he has the ability to accomplish whatever he pleases, always in harmony with his will and his perfection. So I want to look at some of the proof of God's power. God has complete power over creation. Genesis 1 is filled with references of God's power in creation over the universe. From Isaiah 44:24, this is what the Lord says, "Your Redeemer who formed you in the womb, I am the Lord, the maker of all things, who stretches out the heavens, who spreads out the earth all by itself." He spoke the cosmos into existence in Colossians 1:16 and Hebrews 11:3. Well, how's that for power? We can see that God has complete power also over the spiritual realm. As God incarnate, Jesus, many times during his ministry, cast out demons. We saw it in Matthew 8:16, 9:32 and 33, 12:22. In Luke 8:31 and James 2:19, we see that demons recognize God and his power. They know who he is, and they tremble in fear at the power of God. So what does this mean about the power of Satan? We know that God has complete power over the devil also. Even though Satan has powers that we don't have, he is not omnipotent. When Satan tempted Jesus, he admitted that the power he had been given to him, and that's in Luke 4:6. Remember also that Satan had to ask God's permission to harm Job. That's Job 1:7-12. God never had a beginning while Satan was created by God. In 1 John 4:4, it says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." He who is in the world is Satan. So God has power over Satan. Scripture tells us that nothing is too hard for Jesus to do. He can defeat even Satan. Genesis 18:14, Jeremiah 32:17. And in Hebrews 2:14, it says, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too," that's Jesus, "shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power over the power of death," that is Satan. Okay, we also know that God's power is unending, because God would not be God if he were not omnipotent, and because God is eternal, we know that his power will never end. It never started, and it will never end. That's from Isaiah 40:28. And obviously, God is omnipotent in salvation. We know that we cannot save ourselves. Only God has the power through his son, Jesus Christ. Jude 24:25 says, "To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen." God is omnipotent in the resurrection. Is there any greater power than the power over death? That's not a power that anybody else has. In John 10:17 and 18, it says, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life," this is Jesus talking, "only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Remember, Jesus is God, part of the triune God. So Jesus also is omnipotent. God is omnipotent in his understanding. In Psalm 147:5, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit." So are you starting to get it? Can you see God's omnipotence is boundless? We could sit here in this room, I think, literally till the end of our days and never be able to reach the end or talk, never be able to stop talking about the power of God. So now comes the question that we always have to ask is, well, what does that mean for me? What does that mean today? How is my life different because I believe God is omnipotent? So I want to look at this for a few minutes. For me personally, omnipotence is one of his more easily understood attributes, in that, it's one of the first things I think about when I think of him. I think he is that he is powerful. I don't have any problem that he created everything and that he has the power to do that. All I have to do is look around me, look at creation, look at a newborn baby. I mean, look at the cosmos. I think his power is everywhere around us all the time. The problem that I have is how easily I can disconnect myself from his power. How I can look at his power and understand it and believe it, but I can live each of my days not relying on it. What kind of fool am I? Don't answer that, please. I'm pretty sure I can grasp the meaning of omnipotence or power because I can be so self-centered and self-important. Granted, I don't want God's omnipotence. That's not something I'm striving for. But I sure want the power to control my own life. And too often, I'm able to separate his omnipotence from my daily life. And that, ladies, is a problem. I don't think I'm alone in this. I believe that one of our great motivating factors in life is the desire for acquiring power. Or, I should say, we have the perception of acquiring power, even if that's just power over ourselves and the people around us. That doesn't sound good. That's pretty harsh, I think, to say. But let's think about it, because our sinful human nature puts us in a place where we think we are the center of the universe very often. We are self-centered because we think everything is about us. And that all started in the garden with Adam and Eve. Satan lied to them and got them to start thinking about having the power of God for themselves. They thought they could become like God in some way. Is there a better description of being self-centered than that? And that is our heritage. That is how we continue. Me, 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 me. Even as Christians, we can fall into the mistaken thought that Jesus came to the earth and did everything he did primarily for us. Now, don't be startled when I say that, but I want you to think about it for a minute. He did it out of obedience to his Father. When we start thinking he did it for us, we start thinking that God is man-focused. And God is not man-focused, God is God-focused. We're the ones who put the focus on us. Now, I don't want you all to misunderstand me here. God cares very much about us. He very much wants for us to be saved. He sent his Son to save us. That is how important it is. But he did not do it to glorify us. That's where we get tangled up in this. He did it to glorify himself. And this is scriptural, ladies. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. It says it right there. He created us for his glory, not our glory. God is omnipotent, and God is ultimately God-centered. And the scripture says that over and over and over again. Everything he does is to for his glory. We are to glorify God, magnify him, and display and glorify the splendor of his name, his attributes, and his character. So the chief end of God is to glorify God. What's the first command that he gives us? I'm the Lord your God, and you shall have no other gods before me. He commands us not to put anything before him, and he practices what he preaches. He doesn't put us before him either. And this can seem shocking. I don't want to stand up here and act like I've known this all along, because this took my breath away. I mean, this really put me in my place when I started studying this week, because I think I know I'm important to God. And I want to keep emphasizing that. I don't want y'all to think I'm saying we're not important to him. We are, but I am self-centered. He is God-centered. He does not worship us, ladies. We worship him. We are not the center of the universe. He is the center of the universe. So then, how do we live in a way that keeps God at the center of our lives? The first thing is to surrender completely to Him. Quit thinking that you have the power to live your best life on your own. Break that self-preservation shield that we put around, that we arm ourselves with, and free yourself from what we consider to be our independence, and focus on the one that we are dependent on. Let go of that whole independence stuff. Rely on God. Stop trying to be the God of your own universe. When we let go, that's when we truly acknowledge and accept and rely on His power. We do not have the power to sustain ourselves. His power is made perfect in our weakness. We read that in His Word. Only God has the power to sustain us, and all power comes from Him. And it's a great, great gift that God's power can be glorified and magnified by our weakness. Paul says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." That's 2 Corinthians 12:9b. God's power is exhibited the most in our weaknesses, because He is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. That's Ephesians 3:20. And it's in God's power that we continue to be held in a state of grace despite our sin nature. That's 2 Timothy 1:12. And by His power, we are kept from falling. That's Jude 24. His power will be proclaimed by all the hosts of heaven for all eternity. That's Revelations 19:1. Think of the relief and the freedom that can come when we acknowledge that God has the ultimate power over everything, including each of us and our lives. We should be able to rest securely in that power. Y'all may recognize this. This was one of our slides from our summer meditation. Be still and know that I am God, from Psalm 46:10. This has been a really important part of my daily life, this stillness, this command to be still. And it's so critical for me personally to keep God in the center of my life, because I get off track so easily and I stop recognizing His power and I start trying to rely on my own power. And unless and until I am still, I can't focus on Him and what He can do. And if I'm not focused on Him, then I'm focused on me. And I start to believe that it's about me and it's about what I can do. I start to believe that I'm the power in my life. And when that happens, nothing in my life is right. That's when I start to become overwhelmed or anxious or concerned about myself and what I need to do and what I need to do for you. And I quit relying and believing that God has that perfect plan for me and trusting Him with His power to implement that perfect plan in my life. So I realized years and years ago that I needed to start my day off on the right track with quiet time with God. And that's been a blessing to me forever. And what I've done over those years, of course, has changed, and it's constantly evolving. But it has remained a priority for me. Now, something new for me over the past couple of years has been a focus on also ending my day with some quiet time with God. So I've started practicing something called a daily examine. And I'll put this up here for you all. Again, take a picture of it, or it'll be on the website. And it's just a little synopsis of what a daily examine is. Or you can look it up. There are lots of good instructions on it. So what happens for me is at some point in the evening, I sneak away to my quiet space, and I sit still. And I try and be quiet, and I try and focus on God's presence. I thank Him for His provision and His protection over the day. And then I spend a little bit of time reviewing my day. I try to notice these little times that I've seen God in my day, that I've seen His hand. But I also try and notice times when I didn't feel Him, when I felt alone and I felt like I was doing things on my own. And then I pray about whatever it is that comes to me. Maybe it's a prayer of thanks or a prayer of confession, a prayer of intercession. And then I I wrap it all up by looking to tomorrow, which would be always tomorrow, and then asking him to help me keep him as my top priority in the days to come. Now, this might seem like an abrupt change here, but just stick with me for a minute, because I want to spend a few minutes talking about Satan, the enemy, the deceiver, the father of lies. And I know this is one of those topics that people are like, oh gosh, let's don't talk about him. Let's don't bring him into the room. But I really feel like that if we don't talk about the enemy, that we're giving him more power than he has. And what I mean by that is that earlier I talked about God having power over Satan. And I also talked about the role of Satan in the fall of Adam and Eve from the garden. Remember what he said to them? He told them he could be like God. It's a story as old as time, literally. And what I want to say about that is it's still our greatest temptation. Satan is still trying to get us to be the God of our own lives. He continues to tempt us with these lies that we can have power, that he has power to give us, and that we have power that we can take. He's called the father of lies because he is a great liar, and he does get our attention with his lies. And sometimes these lies are lies that get into our greatest insecurities, and other times they're lies that build us up and make us think we're greater than we are. He doesn't care how he gets our attention. He'll do whatever he can to get our attention. But we have the Holy Spirit in us. And we don't have to listen to those lies. We have to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we're in here today. That's why we do the things we do. Because that's the voice we want to recognize in our lives. And I want to remind you all of the good news that Satan has been defeated. I mean, when Jesus was resurrected, he conquered death. He conquered that power that Satan has of death. And even though Satan has been defeated, he's not going down without a fight. He's going to try and get as many people as he can that he can take with him. So what do we do about that? Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to a podcast with an author named Sharon James. And in it, she was talking about the lies that the enemy tells us that are meant to take us away from God. And lies that are meant to make us feel hopeless about ourselves or our lives. Lies that make us think that we have the power and that we are in control. Or worse, lies that tell us that God is not in control and that God does not have the power to overcome anything that we're facing. Now, the suggestion that she made was to pay attention on a daily basis. Actually spend some time in your day thinking about the lies that you have heard in your day that day. And then fight it with the truth. And not just the truth that you're telling yourself, but go to Scripture and find the truth in Scripture that defeats that lie. So here's what I've started doing in addition to my daily examine during my quiet time. I review my day and I look for the lies. And ladies, I'm going to tell y'all, this is so much easier than it sounds. It may sound like, what is she talking about? But if you do it, you will see what I'm talking about. When I look in my day for the lies, I try to focus on when I'm not relying on God's power. So what I did is I went back to my journal and I took a couple of examples. Now, these are very general examples. Some of them are also can be very specific. So one day I say, what was the lie I told myself? Well, the lie I told myself was, it's up to me. The truth is, it's up to him. And that's backed up in Scripture with Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The second lie, I need more. The truth, he is all I need. The Scripture to back it up, you, Lord, are all I have, and you give me all I need. My future is in your hands. That's Psalm 6:15. Do you see what this does? Do you see how this puts the power right back where it belongs? It's a gift beyond measure. His power is our greatest protection every single minute of our lives. My God is almighty. That means when I take my place in the arms of the Almighty, in the shadow of the Almighty, I am protected by His power and His omnipotence. There is an infinite and unending security in the almightiness of God. Let the power and truth of God's omnipotence encourage you this week as you face the impossibilities of life that we all face all the time. Remember that you are not alone. The Almighty God walks by your side. Having an omnipotent God gives us a source of confidence. He can handle anything that we can throw at Him. His omnipotence means eternal, unshakable refuge in the everlasting glory of God, no matter what happens to us here on earth. Is there anything more beautiful than that? That's encouraging. It's strengthening. God is our refuge all day, every day, in the ordinary and in the extraordinary experiences of our lives. And if we really believe this, if we really let this truth of God's omnipotence grab hold of us, what a difference it can make. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 says, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank You that You have the power and we don't. Thank You that You are a good, good God, and that You created us to glorify You. And in glorifying You, we can have just an extraordinary life. And for that, we give You thanks. I ask this morning, as these women go to talk about this, that You just let them feel the Holy Spirit and feel the protection of You, and just be able to share freely what Your power has meant in their lives. I lift this morning up to You in Your Son's most holy, most glorious, and almighty name.